Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 19. And the portion of scripture in Proverbs that we're looking at deals mainly, primarily, with resisting sin. Resisting temptation, rather. Temptation is not always a sin, but we'll get into that. The first portion deals with an admonishment to hear and to obey parents. And I've got to tell you, as the parent of a teenager, I love that portion of scripture. And the next section deals, well, we've got a pretty good one. We stopped when we hit pretty good. So just an admonishment to hear and obey parents, and that could apply to elders as well, those who have been through some things. And the next section deals with sinners, basically, the temptation that they bring and not to fall into their schemes and what will eventually befall those who sin. So I'm just going to start here in verse 8 and go through 19. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. And while like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoils. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Now, hopefully, we do not face that type of temptation where people are asking us to lie in wait to ambush others. If we do, I would pray that that would be so far outside the norm for us that the resisting the urge of that sin would be a reasonable reaction for most of us. The proverb here is warning us against falling into the scheme of sinners who want to waylay travelers, assault and rob them for their wealth. So if you are here tonight and that is a sin that you are struggling with, come see me afterwards. Better yet, come and see one of the deacons afterwards. We do not face that temptation, thankfully. But every believer faces temptation to sin from time to time, because every believer is still yet a sinner. Now, we do not sin every time that we are tempted to, but we do sin. That is in our nature as we work from our saving to our sanctification. Being tempted to sin in and of itself is not a sin, but you can see sin from there. It is very close from there, one step away from sinning once we are tempted. When we are tempted, sometimes we succeed in resisting that urge to sin, and sometimes we fail. Sin arises when we give in to that temptation. Scripture urges us to resist temptation and gives us the encouragement to face it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture from Proverbs and we look at what your word says about resisting temptation, let us approach this passage with open hearts for your lesson, for your word, for your wisdom. open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit would have us draw from this. For we all face temptation to sin, Father. It is a struggle that is not new, but it is a struggle that we can succeed in resisting the temptation to sin. And I pray tonight that we leave here with a blessing from your word in our struggle with temptation and in our struggle with sin. We will give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All throughout the Old and New Testament, we can find affirmations for us. When we find ourselves experiencing temptation, we can turn to the Bible and find help there. When Abby attended Lanesburg Christian, they were known as the conquerors. And that comes from Romans 8:37. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. James 1, verse 12 said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he has been approved. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Often, we know temptation precedes sin. Temptation can come from a thought or something that we observe. It is important for a Christian to recognize those types of triggers in their lives and to avoid them and to redirect certain thoughts. It usually begins in the heart or in the mind, and when they occur, we need to know how to deal with them if we are to successfully walk with our Lord and Savior. So this tonight hopefully will be very practical stuff. It's very difficult sometimes when you're preaching to Christians who have been Christians for a while, because a lot of this stuff is stuff that we do. So if this is something that you're doing, think of this as what Pastor Jay so lovingly refers to as a re-up. But hopefully there are some practical things in here that we can take and apply to our lives. When these triggers occur, we need to deal with them in a way that will further our walk with Christ as we grow closer to him and continue in our ongoing sanctification. Temptation is all around us. Temptation can be very discouraging to us when it seems like we spend most of our time dealing with and resisting it. But when we have walked with God for a while and avoided the snare of temptation, we can turn the struggle against it into helping others. And therein lies a blessing. We wonder sometimes, why are we constantly facing this temptation or that temptation? God is using that. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Christ can relate to our struggles with temptation because he himself was tempted. Yet unlike us, he was tempted but did not once give into temptation. Oftentimes when I have counseled people who were dealing with anger, my own struggle against that temptation to respond angrily, to lash out, has been helpful to me in helping others. We have a tendency to question why God allows certain struggles into our lives. In that case, I can say one reason is that it can be used for good. In regards to counseling, it also helps us in our own struggles with that sin. Against temptation, to recognize that Jesus was tempted and was able to resist it. I'm so richly blessed with the wife that I have. We've been married now for 21 years. It will be 22 in September. She has seen me at my absolute worst, the angriest I have ever been. And yet she's still here with me. Anger is a sin that I struggle with. When we were dating and first married, that was more of a struggle than it is today, though I still deal with it from time to time. A few years ago, I had someone come to me for counseling about anger, and what I told them was, is that this is something that I have struggled with for most of my life. That anger, that monster that lives in each and every one of us, but that because of that struggle, with that temptation to become angry, to lash out, to yell, to scream, however it manifests, because of that struggle, I had developed strategies, along with some Bible verses in dealing with anger, that had helped me, and maybe it will help you. But had that not been something that I had struggled with, that I had fought against, I would not have had those tools open and available to share with them. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So when we are facing temptation, when we are fighting against the temptation to sin, we look to God and to His Word in order to find resources, in order not to become ensnared when temptation comes knocking. In 1 Timothy 6, which we're going to flip to now, Paul writes to Timothy about the harmful snare of sin, how those who desire wealth fall into temptation, and that money is the root of all kinds of evil. He tells him to flee temptation and to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. And I'm, of course, floundering in Philippians. Not floundering, just not getting to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." I turn to these verses when I'm struggling against temptation, when I want that anger to just have its reign. Flee temptation, fight the fight of faith, for you are a child of God. What a blessing that is, that our sins have been forgiven. That should inform us in our lives, in our sanctification, and in our walk with Christ. One more example of how the Bible tells us to handle temptation. We recognize the source of the temptation, and we run from it. Flip over, well, don't flip over, I'll just read it. James 4, 47 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Sometimes when I'm struggling with something, it is enough to just stop and say, "Get behind me, Satan." Just those verses, these verses, just reciting scripture is enough to recenter ourselves, to resist that temptation, and to get back to where we need to be. The Bible also speaks about using prayer to overcome temptation. Of course, prayer. We turn to God. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." I've said this often. We can and we should pray to God about anything and everything. We are more vulnerable to temptation and to sin, the further from God we become. This is why a devotional life for a believer, for a follower of Christ, is so very vital to the success of our walk with Him. Every single day, we need to be spending time with Jesus. We need to be in His Word. We need to be absorbing its truth, and we need to be fighting that temptation. Always remembering that we do not avoid the temptation alone. We do not avoid the temptation by our own strength, but by His. So we need to make sure that our time with God is protected time. Our time with God is cherished time. That we do not skimp out or walk away or turn away from God. You know, there are some that look at a Christian and look at his devotional life and think, oh, they have to do that for their God. We don't have to do that. We are saved. We don't really have to do anything. But if we are going to be effective Christians, if we are going to be used of God, we need to be in His Word, we need to be taking sin seriously, and we need to be avoiding temptation. Protect that time with God. It is so vitally important. It is armor, it is shielding, it protects us from Satan, and it protects us from temptation. Temptation leads to sin. Sin is horrific. We need to guard against it, because giving sin a foothold in our lives does not help us, and it does not honor God. We overcome temptation through personal discipline. God has His part in it. He gives us the scripture. He gives us the prayer that we can go to Him with anything and everything that we're facing. He gives us the power to do that. But our side of it is personal discipline. We overcome temptation through personal discipline. Flip over with me to 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3. And what we read there is all about being forewarned and forearmed. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can so easily be led away. And it is not usually some movie villain with a twisted mustache that is leading us away. We can be led away by media. We can be led away by the news. We can be led away by anything that we place as more important in our lives than God. And we may not even recognize that we are doing it. Do not fall into that. Satan is out there and he is roaming around like a hungry lion looking to devour us. As followers of Jesus, we are the ones that he is interested in. Now that great Bible scholar, Denzel Washington, once said, you guys need to laugh louder than that. Denzel Washington is not a biblical scholar. He's an actor. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he once said, the devil will ignore you when you are sinning. When you are sinning, the devil doesn't want to bother you at all because you're one of his favorites. But he said, when you are following Jesus, those are the times that he's going to come after you. When you are living for God, that's when Satan takes an interest in you. We have to fight against that temptation to sin. We have to fight with everything that is within us, with our personal discipline, because we make the choice. We make the choice to go to Scripture. We make the choice to have a strong devotional life with Christ. Those are things that as believers we choose to do. And not because it makes us more spiritual. Not because It makes us look good, but because we love the Lord and we want to honor him, we want to serve him, we want to please him. And if we are falling into temptation, if we are sinning, we're not effective for Christ. God will help us resist temptation. God will help us resist sin. But it's not a we just sit back and let go and let God. We have a part in it as well. We have to take an active part in resisting, and we do that through our own personal discipline. There should be no sin reigning in our lives. What do I mean by that? There should be no sin reigning in our lives. We are still sinners, even after we've been saved. I can't go a day without sinning. But it cannot be something that I allow to reign, to be in control of my life. We have been given what we need by God the moment we were saved in order to resist sin. We are no longer enslaved by it. Don't give it that foothold. Don't allow it to be in control of your life. Control it. The Holy Word of God, prayer, accountability partners in our fellow believers. I have a wonderful accountability partner in my wife, Rebecca, and in my brother, Brian Morrison. He and I talk often in regards to our walk, in regards to things that we're facing. He and I talk often about Christ. If we flip over to Romans 6, 12 through 14, it talks about not allowing sin to have a foothold in our lives. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are alive in Christ. We are dead to our sins and trespasses. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have God living in us, and we are under his grace. We are under his grace. The Bible is filled with many examples of people resisting sin. We think of Job, we think of Daniel. Those are two great examples. We think of Joseph. We have the same ability to resist sin as they did. Let's flip over to Genesis 39. Speaking of Joseph, let's look at an example of when he resisted sin. Genesis 39, we're going to be looking at 7 through 10. Now Joseph, as we know, was enslaved in Egypt, sold there by his brothers, and he came under the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge of many things, but then temptation reared its ugly head in the form of Potiphar's wife. And in 7 we read, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I. nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Joseph had everything. Joseph had absolutely everything. He was in charge of that household. And that temptation came as the one thing that he could not have. We think of Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were given the run of the garden. They were given dominion over the animals, but there was one tree that they were not to eat of. So here with Joseph, we have an example of resisting. With Adam and Eve in the fall, we have an example of the consequences of not. I'm not a nature person. I don't go outside unless I have to. I get allergies. I hate weeds. That's all because of the fall. It really is. The weeds, the thorns, the thistles, working, sweating, all those wonderful things that we have to do, that is because of the fall. That is the consequence of original sin. Oftentimes when we're faced with temptation to sin, that sin looks so very attractive. But if we pause for a moment, if we take a step back, we realize that it is not better to sin. All sin has consequences. Sometimes just stopping and thinking about the consequences behind the sin that we're so tempted to do can give us pause. We take encouragement from Joseph, from his example here in resisting Potiphar's wife. Even though after resisting he was wrongfully accused and imprisoned, Joseph did not lose faith that God was working it all out for good. He remained faithful even when it appeared that that was working against him. We as believers need to recognize that God is alive and actively working in our lives. He has made promises in regards to our lives, and he will be faithful to us. We need to be faithful to him. He is faithful to us in fulfilling the promises that he has made. That is what we hold on to as we resist temptation. God has made promises. God will be faithful. The greatest example of sin resistance comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is tempted by Satan and resists. And he resists by countering every temptation brought to him by Satan with Scripture. You know, we're told in seminary, do not use Scripture as a weapon. But here, Christ is using it as a weapon to defend himself. And it does not fail him. Flip with me over to Matthew 4. We're going to be looking at three sets of verses about when Christ was tempted by Satan and how he resisted that temptation. Matthew 4, we're going to be looking at 3 through 4 first. Now when the tempter, that's Satan, came to him, that's Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's from Deuteronomy. Matthew 4, 6 through 7. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here we see Satan trying to use Scripture to tempt Jesus into sinning. And Jesus resists with more scripture. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus referencing Deuteronomy once again. And then in 4, 9 through 10, "And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him." It is written, it is written, it is written in his book. You know, in this exchange between our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the tempter Satan, I picture almost a sword duel where Satan attacks again and again with temptation and temptation and even misinterpreted scripture, and Christ parries the jabs and the untruth with the holy word of God. What a picture that is. That is the battle that we are in every single day with temptation. It may not always be Satan that is tempting us, but we have the defense against that temptation right in this book, between these covers. God wrote this for us. So how do we apply this? How do we use what we've looked at tonight? The first thing we need to do is recognize how dangerous a thing temptation to sin is. Sometimes, and hopefully not, we can toy with temptation. Well, temptation is not a sin, but I'm going to think about this. I'm going to let this have a place in my heart. I'm not going to sin. I'm just going to feel the temptation to sin, but I won't sin. Sin is a deadly and a dangerous thing. And sin comes at us in different ways and in different forms, and it manifests differently for every believer. The things that are a temptation for me, the temptation to overeat, the temptation to get angry, may not be a temptation for you. You might battle with something else. It is all the same in the eyes of God, however. The things that tempt us, we need to identify those temptations, those triggers in our lives, and we need to avoid them. We identify them so that we recognize them when they start to come into our lives, and we cut it off right then and there. Right then and there, so that we can work to avoid sinning, because temptation leads to sin, and sin is detrimental to us as believers in Christ. Sin will not cause us to lose our salvation, but sin will separate us from God, will make us ineffective in our witness and in our walk, and Satan would be just fine with that. Satan's not worried about us if we have sin reigning in our lives. Satan only worries about us when we are walking close with our Lord and Savior. We need to pray constantly for God's help in this battle. Look to the Word of God for the power to fight against temptation, but not only the power there is also encouragement there from others who have resisted temptation successfully. We need to look to our brothers and our sisters in Christ as an accountability partner. The sin, the struggle with carrying temptation around is made better when it is shared between a brother and sister in Christ, so long as we're not causing that brother to stumble in that sharing or that sister to stumble in that sharing. It can be of great help if we have somebody we can trust to talk to about some of the temptation and the struggles that we're having. We need to desire in our hearts to resist. It can get very discouraging when we're constantly, it seems like, struggling against temptation, constantly fighting the battle against sin, we must not ever give up in that fighting. When I was first saved at Michigan State, Brian and I were talking about temptation and about sin. And I will never forget this encouragement that he gave me with two verses of scripture. The first was found in the first chapter of Job. I'm going to flip there now. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And this is God talking to Satan about Job. And this was one of the first verses that Brian and I talked about after I was saved. Some 25, boy, it's been longer than that, some 30 years ago. God talking to Satan about Job. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And so Brian read this verse to me, and then he asked me a question that I have carried with me ever since. He said, "Can God say the same thing about us?" And then he inserted my name in the place of Job's in that verse. "Consider my servant Adam, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." That is the challenge that we must live as Christians, to live up to that verse, that God can say that about us. Now, over the years, I have sometimes done this very well, and I have failed more often than I've done it well, I'm ashamed to say. But that is the goal. That is what we are striving for as believers. We live our lives towards the example of Job and towards the example of Christ, so that God, if asked, would say that about us. The other verse is one that we've touched on already tonight, but bears repeating. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make that way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. We face temptation every day, and it may be different for each and every one here tonight. I pray for your strength. I pray for your guidance. I pray for your wisdom as we face the many temptations that are out there. Satan roaming around like a lion looking to devour us, Lord. You are our strength. You are our strong tower. You are our protection. And you have given us everything that we need in order to resist that temptation. Let us see sin for what it is in our lives, a detriment, not a playground, not something that we revel in, not something that we allow to reign in our lives, but a serious and harmful offense against you. Let us love you that much, Father, that we avoid it when it comes into our lives, when even the inkling of temptation comes in. We will give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.